Diary of Doom.
Alright, so anyway, my name's Joe. I'm the bassist of Lightmaker. And how I got involved with Doom, why I like Doom, I mostly played in metal bands all my life, hardcore, thrash, and before Doom I was playing in a punk band. And after the punk band kind of fell through, because punks are punks. I'm on Craigslist and I'm looking for bands, and I come across this band that's two blocks from my house, by the name of Saba, and they're listing all their influences, and it was Windhand, Acid King, Monolord, all the Doom bands, more popular Doom bands, and I'm like, who the hell are these bands? So I'm like, well, if I'm gonna try out for these guys, I gotta do my homework and I gotta research these bands. So I go down on my computer and I start downloading music and. I think Empress Rising by Monolord, right?
Yep. That's their big ass song.
Fucking floored. Right? And then I go on Acid King and I'm fucking floored. And I'm getting angrier and angrier as I'm listening to this, because I'm like, where have these bands been all my life? What, I've been playing this on my own, just doodling around, whatever. And the bands are like, stop doodling, stop droning on with that same riff for 10 minutes, knock it off, man. And I'm like, holy fucking shit, I'm floored. I'm absolutely fucking floored by this music. And I just fell in love with the genre. I fell in love. And I filled in for the band Saba real quickly. But then that kind of ended, and I'm like, I got to find another Doom band to play in. So, I'm searching around, and I found this band Lightmaker that I'm in. And I just love the genre. And I'm upset with myself that I have not been listening to this stuff for the past 20 fucking years. You know what I mean?
Because it's I sound by the second episode of this fucking podcast, I sound like a broken record. But it's crazy to me that it's only been discovered now.
Right.
Within maybe the last 10 years.
Right.
2009 was probably when it.
Right.
I said in the first episode. And 2009 was probably the year that Doom began to enter the lexicon.
And I'm so angry at myself that I haven't been listening to this stuff. And more angry, I've been playing this stuff for 20 years on my own, just doodling around, but no one would play. Stop. Be yelling at me. Yeah. What do you do? Stop playing the same bass line over and over. What's that noise? Why are you putting phaser on your bass?
Get your fingers off the 12th fret.
Yeah. Now I finally found my calling. I almost thought I was too old to play up because, at my age, it's to play in a thrash band or a hardcore band. I don't know. And this is the perfect genre for a middle-aged guy. or a 20-year-old. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, but,
You only live once, man.
You can have gray hair and play this music.
Man, I said YOLO on this fucking
podcast. Yeah, but it was great. It's awesome. But yeah, that's my story.
How long did it take you guys to get down here to Pittsburgh?
Well, we came from Philly.
Oh, you came from Philly.
Yeah,
okay. But you guys are out of Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, correct. We started Baltimore Thursday night, then we played Philly last night. And,
how'd it go?
Good. Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Usually when we do something that's a little bit of more of a 9-hour stretch to get to, then we will fill the, we'll just do 3-hour drive to here, 3-hour drive to here, 3-hour, make a weekender of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Have you guys been down to New York before?
We have.
We played Hank's Saloon.
Okay.
Last year.
Yeah.
What time of year was that?
I don't know. It was spring or fall. It was cold. It was still pretty
chilly.
Before you guys even declared yourself to Doom, what brought you to music? What attracted you to that? What was the thing that got you first?
Boy.
I know that's a really broad, intense question, but I ask that because a lot of people that I know like Doom, like a lot of music outside of Doom. So
I always
know that you can talk about other things besides the same.
I think if you talk to anybody in the band about that, we all have very commonalities, but at the same time, we have a lot of very, very varied influences background-wise. So I'm the oldest member of the band, and just oldest in general. So that being said, my dad played in a band. My mom was a pianist, And so music was always in the house. Not anything, you know, like what we're listening to these days, because one was very much into folk music, the other one was into spiritual music. And actually, I never got into playing drums until I was in high school. I wasn't one of those kids that hit pots and pans. My mom would have fucking freaked out on me. So it wasn't until I got in high school and started playing in the drum line and did that, and then I've been playing ever since. So that was in, you know, the mid-80s is when I started doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, influence-wise, I started getting into more aggressive music in high school. I was a big fan of the British heavy metal. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's where I started with it. And then that progressively got into faster things, thrashier things, stuff like that. Anything that really pushed the extremes, especially for drumming.
We
for
constantly
me.
Have to slow JD down.
That's like, true.
Come on,
I was,
cut that in half.
I was kind of new to the whole doom thing, so I came in as the band stands now. I was at Shy and Brendan Foreign Whorehound, and I was brought in just before the recording of our first album. That was our second album.
That's your second.
Yeah, the self-titled is our
this
first.
This was we were together for about a year. He came in like probably like 8 months in, and then we recorded like 4 months after he came in.
Right.
About ish.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Policy was your release last year.
Yeah, that was 2018 fall again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that being said, there were already some drum parts made for most of the album already. I kind of put my own little spin on it, kind of made them my own, but kind of kept what had already been originally written for the song. And it wasn't until Holocene, which was all me,
mm-hmm.
Drumming wise, of course. So, yeah, that's how, that was my contribution.
JD wasn't the original drummer, but, like, he seems like the original drummer. You know, he's been with us the whole time, basically,
yeah.
It feels like. And so, Brendan and I are the founders, but JD's been there with us most of the time. So, he's, you know, we're the core of the band. We've had, we started out as a five-piece, and then we went as a four-piece, and the bass player at the time had a split signal, and we just replaced that bass player with somebody else. We're figuring out our next move and how our sound's gonna be. It might shift a little bit just because we have somebody else and we write as a team. Like, we are a band. We
collaborative.
Don't, yeah,
very
we
much.
Don't.
Very much.
Brendan usually brings a riff in. We say yay or nay, or we try to modify it. Like, should it be slower or, you know, that type of thing. And then we just all start building off of it. Like, we all put our two cents in. And so that's why we really loved Holocene, because now JD was writing with us. We were all writing together, and it had, you know, really good chemistry. And then we have this new bass player, Russ Johnson, and I hope that we can just, you know, he came in, and now we're like, you're playing all these shows real quick, right? He learned our whole catalog for our audition.
We were like, can you,
if you want one more, we can give you one more. And he just came in, and he was like, which one do you want to play?
Which one do you want to play?
Like,
well,
didn't we give you
the two?
That
we gave you. And he's like, well, I learned everything, with the exception of like two
great.
Songs. We're like, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually.
Awesome. bonus points for that.
Actually, we auditioned with the songs that we gave him, and then he wanted to do another one, and we were almost forgetful because we hadn't played it for so long that he was like already on it. So
he was like, guys, come on.
Yeah, and it's great to have somebody motivated like that, fresh blood type of thing. So
getting back, kind of backtracking a little bit to your first question, it's like, because we have such varied backgrounds and we all are a part of the writing process, we all bring our kind of interesting little, you know, addition to the songs, and I think Russ is going to do the same thing as we, you know, move forward with new material, that he's going to bring a little bit of himself now into what the new songs sound like.
Really, when we first collaborated with the four individuals that started it was very stoner rockish.
Just
and
like
very
kind of
like,
cut from the mold, like,
yeah, and like we were just figuring out our sound together, and I and Brendan did start leaning, like, we, you know, I wanted it to be like more doom sludge, and he definitely wanted it to be heavier, so we just kind of leaned into that. And I always say I am doom. Like, I was always like, I fit the doom mold. I didn't always listen to doom, but I always did in the background,
sure,
you know. But doom and death are like my two styles of, like, those are my preferred genres, or sludge or noise, like noise metal. So I've always been into like the really dark, heavy, hit it slow, hit it hard type of music. I can name a whole bunch of bands, but it's been my whole entire life I've been into that. So,
but not even just like the same kind of stuff. Like I, you know, I'm thinking like Big Black and and now of course I'm like trying
to. I would go to like I would go from like I was sharing songs with him today. I was like, do you know Acid Bath?
Yeah.
Do you know what
Acid Bath, yeah. Sour Vein, Buzz Oven, yeah. The Melvins.
Melvin, we all love Melvin. Yeah, that's like one thing we're all.
Yeah.
Everybody, loves the
yeah. So like we have those bands that you know, but sometimes like a couple of the guys will be like, "We're gonna go to the show." I'm like, "No, thank you." You know, just like that's not my thing. But like they'll do the same thing to me. Sure. I'm like, "You guys want to come to this?" And like Brenna will be like, "No," like I don't think so.
There's usually at least two of us that'll go to a show together because we're both into them. Because
you're fans.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Fans first, actually.
Definitely.
Fans first. Yeah.
That's one thing that I have noticed about the genre is that there's a lot of fan support, but the fans are they're all in their own projects. They're all doing their own thing, and they're like, "Oh, I live in Atlanta. You know what? So and so is going to be in town. Obviously, I'm going to go because it's just."
Right.
It seems to be the thing that you do. In
supporting.
The
There's a big support for like the heavy underground.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of come a little bit more into the forefront now.
It has.
Finally.
About 10, 15 years ago, there was a lull for a while. And there was just a lot of, like in our area, Pittsburgh, it was just like a lot of like, there were still some punk bands that were just like never go away. But they're still there now. Like it just, those types, that type of scene will never go away. But, like, there was, like, a lot of canned metal going on. I blame nu metal on that.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids that are, like, playing, music right now are, like, 30 years old, and they grew up with nu metal. That was their metal.
Yeah, I mean, not to put any offense in anybody, I'm a little bit younger than you. I mean, that's what I kind of grew up
with. Yeah, and I'm not going to tear people down. Like, you had what you had, but, like, I grew up in a great time for like metal, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and I just like that's what you're listening to.
You grew up in that time where there was like a lot of really good metal, but it wasn't really the stuff that was being aired. It wasn't getting radio play. It was all part of like that kind of vicious underground scene where you weren't really
turning.
You were
a part of the scene. Everybody was a part of the scene, and that's kind of like what I feel with the movement now. Can we call it a movement? Like this underground heavy movement is that like. There will be some people there that just support. They're going to buy your vinyl. They're going to do all this stuff.
Absolutely.
And they're great. And we love those people. But most of the people in that room, too, are in a band.
Yeah.
Or a project of some sort. They're recording.
Right.
They play instruments. And, like, everybody's a musician in that. You know, like, it's a... It's just like a... Like, everybody's going to support each other.
Yeah,
we're gonna
they
just
do
go
merch.
Out to shows.
They
yeah,
do.
It's great.
They run
it's great.
A blog.
Yeah.
They do something.
Yeah.
Was there a record that broke you?
I just answered this question for another interview, so I don't want to sound rhetorical, but it was...
I'm trying not to be, like, a generic...
But no, but it was... But, you know, people may not read that. So, I was about 14. I'd listened to, like, Doom, like, you know, Sabbath, all of Sabbath and stuff like that, and that was... It was great, and it was definitely, like, this is... I relate to this, and I love the feel and the vibe of this. But then, you know, sometimes you go for, you know, street... You go for... When you're young, you go for heavy, aggressive stuff, I think. Like, when you're going through that puberty stage, really, like, you just want to get it out. And I was at a flea market. I didn't have metalhead friends. And I was just at a flea market, and I was, like, in this jazz, this guy that just sold jazz, but, like, he had this, like, random area, and I was just going through. And I saw this sick cover, which later I ended up to know it. It's, like, a historical painting that the band had. It was like free public domain at that point, and they just used it for their cover. But it was Morbid Angel's Blessed Are the Sick.
Okay.
And I don't know, have you ever heard that?
Sure.
Sick. It is
I
sick.
Haven't heard that one. I mean, I know Morbid Angel.
Please do.
I'm not
then,
super...
Please do, and then think about the time that it came out. I think it would be 91 when it came out. It was like 4 years old when I picked it up. And, I mean, they just laid into it with... There was flute. There was like, you know,
Florida death
it
metal
got,
is a
yeah,
weird
it was
thing.
Like there was so much shit going on, but it all sounded brilliant and orchestrated and like so heavy, but like then there would be like this bright point and then it would just slam and crush it. And like there was nothing that they didn't do on that album that you could possibly do in music. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So that would be the band that like really made me think, there's so much out there, and I would just then go look for the sickest cover or, like, you know, what would push the boundaries. And I no longer was, like, I don't know, at that time we had those, like, what was it, BM, where you had the, like, saver and you got, like, so many CDs for whatever cents. You don't know that. What was it? The BMI or whatever? Columbia House?
Oh, the record clubs.
Like, you,
Yeah, that was
big when I was a kid. And I would just, like, be like, this sounds
metal
and
like
circle
a Sunday
it.
Paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the write-in subscription.
Yeah, but then I was like, no longer will anything I want be on that. And then I would look at the bands that were on, like, those labels, like Relapse, Century Media, you know, all those labels back
then. But it forces you to go to a new album.
And then you know they're going to be putting some cool stuff out, yeah. So.
Exactly. Side note, the next band has just started, so the levels on this thing are going through the roof. Same question to you. Was there a record that, like, broke you in? I mean, it doesn't even have to be Doom, but was there a record that just, like, broke you and said, this is what, I want to do this?
Yeah, the record that broke me would have been Maiden's Killers album. So
classic.
That is what started me into the whole heavier genre of music. I had started off, and I still like to this, you know, the band, you know, Van Halen and AC/DC. I heard those real early on. But as far as what broke me into it was definitely the Killers album. So
the Killers?
Yeah, no, not those killers.
Killers.
Wrong Killers. Killers by Iron Maiden. So yeah, that's what broke me, I think, mostly into metal. And then from there, I mean, again, like I was saying, a lot of British metal, so, you know, Priest and Maiden and Saxon and Scorpions and, you know, all that stuff kind of surrounded, you know, my, you know, high school days. As I got out of that and then was exposed to more things, you know, by that point now, heavier things were starting to come out. So Pantera was another turning point for me. Okay, so the slower, you know, more riff, just riff based type of just chunky and heavy and right in your face.
That New Orleans sludge feel came into
just that
play.
Yes,
disgusting.
Exactly. And yet raw, and so much emotion.
And I say it's simplistic only in the fact that, you know, not from a musician standpoint, you know, those guys were all extremely talented musicians, but there was something so stripped out of it that was just so raw that you could just felt that music. So from that point, then I got into, you know, into Overkill was another one of my big, you know, still was one of my big favorite bands. Then after that, I started getting more into industrial, so I like Prong a lot. I was still a big Prong fan. I just saw them recently in Pittsburgh.
Kicks ass.
I love those guys.
I saw
still
them on a boat
them.
In this town.
Yeah, I'm also a big Killing Joke fan. I love those guys a lot.
Never got the due credit until
right. And they're playing actually in Pittsburgh. We're missing the Tool concert tonight, which is also another wonderful band.
That was last night.
Or was it last night? Okay, and Killing Joke is opening up for Tool, so we're missing that, and I'm a little bummed about that. Most recently, hands down, Gojira. I am one of the... They just completely changed my whole mentality of where music it was going, and I just... I've seen them 3 times. I take my kids to see them with me, and we're all fans of them. And every time they come to Pittsburgh, we're there. So.
Yeah, I've seen them twice. They're friggin' unbelievable. Just, like, kick so much ass. Have a great band name. Sing about cool shit.
Sing
the environment.
And Shy will be the first one to tell you. A lot of her lyrics are based around, you know, the destruction.
People fucking up.
The destruction.
Why? Why are we fucking up so hard?
What we've done to the earth and to the
world
in general. So.
Even if it doesn't matter anymore, like, please just stop. Be kind.
Just, like...
Be kind to the earth. Yeah. Being, like, humans are selfish. And that's,
absolutely.
Like, that's always been my biggest problem with being alive is that I have to share, you know. I mean, some humans are great and sharing, but by far we are a disease. That's what a lot of our lyrics are about.
Well, I feel like the whole atmosphere of doom is very, like, and maybe that is a reason why it is so prevalent right now, because we are kind of in a very dark period of the world, not just, like, this country, but the world in general. It's kind of in a very dark place, and I'm wondering if people are attracted to that dread and depression and anxiety.
I believe so. I mean,
I agree.
It's just, like, whenever I was a kid and I wanted to hear thrash, like, I don't really listen to much thrash. When I do, it's nostalgic now, but, like, I had angst and this pent-up anger, and, like, it was, like, a different time then, politically and, you know, worldwide, but And I think that's why I've always been a fan of doom. I've always felt this dread. Like, since I was born, I knew it was going to be this bad. Like, I just had this feeling or whatever. And now I think more people are buying into it. Yeah. They're like, oh, shit. You know, there's, like, basically a world call of, oh, shit, there's a climate emergency right now. And people are just like, well, not people, but, like, whenever your government pushes it away, people will believe that, you know, whenever they buttercoat it, then it doesn't seem like an urgent thing, so. But I will digress.
but to change, you know, lanes a little bit, you know, you guys are a little bit of a more, a younger band, so to speak. You've been around for, what, the last, I mean, actually, I don't know. I don't know that on time.
We started in 2015. Our first release was 2016. 2018, and then we just had an EP out. So we are a younger band, but like, we're not wasting any time.
Absolutely not. My question was simply from there, like, from 2015 to now. I mean, in those 4 years, like, what has changed for you, and what's been the most standout thing that's happened in those 4 years
within the band itself?
Yeah,
just the chemistry and the ease of it. So Brennan had been in a band before, and but he's fairly young. Brennan's early 30s. And I've been around, like, I've been doing things like what you're doing right now. Like, I've been behind the scenes, I did photography. I kind of did everything but be in a band for a little while. Then I would, like, do backup singing in a band. Like, I never would be the front or, like, play an instrument. I just never had that confidence in myself. And then I was like, early 30s, I'm like, fuck it, do it now or stop, or don't do it at all, or, you know, don't regret it, that type of thing. So that's whenever I tried out, and like, we formed Whorehound or whatever. But like, so Brennan's coming into his own, and now I'm even, like, you know, almost 10 years older, or like 8 years older than him. I'm coming into my own, and JD, like, the chemistry of us writing is just like, it's not hard. It's easy. It's organic. There's a chemistry, and it feels really good. I think in the very beginning, both Brennan and I were very apprehensive about what we could do and kind of just not confident. And now we're building our confidence.
But it's almost like you need
because
to...
we're leaning, and we did start out with that, like, stoner rock feel.
Yeah.
And I don't think we really were going to do that. I think we just needed to figure out how we were writing, and then we leaned into it, and now we are ourselves with our music.
You just had to break the wall down.
Right, yeah. So I think that's, like, the thing that, like, I'm like, wow, I really fucking love this right now. When before I was like, should I be doing this? Like, even while I was recording, like, I couldn't stand to hear myself. But now I'm, like, starting to be like, oh, that was cool. You did that.
You're
growing.
You're your own worst critic.
Yeah.
You're always going to say, why am I doing this?
But we're always pushing ourselves to keep into the music that, you know, if we don't like it, just don't fucking play it. Come up with another riff. There's always a solution. Like, when you're writing or when you're drawing or whatever you're doing creatively, there's always a solution to what you're doing.
It's never the end right there.
Right. So, like, I'm not going to say we never accept mediocrity. I'm not going to say, like, we're so great or anything. But, like, to us, we're doing what we love, and we're into what
Absolutely.
We're writing. And before, like, we were just morphing into that. So.
I actually love, I hear so many people say, oh, you know, I recorded this album and, you know, I don't even listen to it. It was such a tedious process. I like to listen to our stuff. I will have it on in the car. I don't care if it's the first album or the one we just did. I like to listen to it because I enjoy what we've created. I genuinely like what we've done, and I like it. Now, sure, you're going to have little things, oh, I could have done this differently, or maybe I would have changed this or whatever, you know, from a drumming standpoint. But the fact of the matter is, I still love what we've come up with. And, you know, unless that goes away for some reason, you know, this is definitely just going to keep progressing forward, especially for me personally.
Yeah.
You know, because
I
really...
It's not.
And I've been in a lot of bands. I mean,
yeah.
Like I was saying, I've been around the longest, you know, in doing this. And, you know, from the first high school band all the way up till what I did prior to joining Whorehound. And it's been a combination of original bands. I've been in rockabilly bands. I've been in thrash metal bands. I've been in pop rock bands. I've been in cover bands. You know, I've done all that shit. And I'm truly happy with, you know, this, what we're creating, what we're the sound that's coming out of us is just so exciting for me that I just look forward to what's coming next. You know?
I think that's what any artist can ask for, is just that satisfaction with the ability to create. And like you said, it's not easy. Almost everybody I've talked to that I know is in a band said it's not easy.
No,
most people do.
It's not easy.
Jesus.
If it was easy, yeah, everybody would be doing it and everybody would be rich.
Exactly.
I don't know about the part. But also, like, another thing about us that's a little different is we didn't come together because we were friends. We, like, found each other because we were looking to create music. But we've become really good friends.
Yeah.
Which is, like I have a whole bunch of friends that I know that are in, like, local bands from where I'm at. And they can't get their shit together. Mm-hmm. But it's because they're such good friends that they'll just, like, not show up or whatever. Like,
yeah.
They just start blowing things off. Because, like, the other one will understand. But we
hold each other accountable.
Yeah, we hold each other accountable.
It's
so.
Responsibility. Mm-hmm.
So it's, and we respect each other.
Yeah.
Ultimately, exactly. Musician-wise, personality-wise, like, what you're going through shit-wise at the time, like, we just trust and respect
each
other. Yeah.
I mean, you spend a lot of time in one vehicle just going around. Like,
right.
You have to understand those people.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, I'm driving.
But there are, like, you will meet bands that are just, it's like a session thing. Like, they just all show up for the gig.
Or is it, it's
and
almost like a chore. It's like a chore.
Yeah. So.
And that's not you guys at all. And then, again, just to switch over to you, you know, you're the organizer of Descendants of Crom, and sounds like an absolutely amazing festival. I've yet to go. It sounds super cool. Like, what goes into getting that together? Because, you know, this past year you had the Obsessed be the headliner, but with Doom, it's such a with all the Doom focus festivals that you see popping up around the country, it's really cool because you have the opportunity to showcase a lot of up and coming bands, which is probably not what Doom had back in the day. They didn't really. They had like. They had like the one record label that put everybody out.
Right.
And then that was kind of, you know, you had to kind of
go through that channel
But this is a really good opportunity for a lot of bands to do a showcase and get their name out there and get themselves up against a name like The Obsessed or, you know, Low Pan.
The Obsessed weren't on the original lineup. They came through for me. ASG, which is more of a like a punk stoner
skate
band, they were supposed to be the headliner for that night, and one of the guys got sick in Mexico, was like actually hospitalized for a little while, and so they knew ahead of like a week ahead of time that this was like not gonna go down, and the Obsessed a week ahead of time filled in, and they were just amazing to me.
That's an amazing pull.
Yeah, like I told these guys right after, like. Then, you know, they played, and I go up on stage to talk to one of them about, like, business matters, right? And Wino just taps me on the shoulder, and, like, I know we know each other to see each other. We've met each other. We played, and we've opened for the Obsessed in Pittsburgh before, and I go down to Maryland Doom Fest all the time, and he plays there, so, like, he'll just be standing around. I know he knows who I am, but he, like, we never really discussed it. And he tapped me on the shoulder, and he was like, thank you for doing this. It's people like you that make bands like us stick around, and that's the fuel. Not making money, these festivals, Claudia's working her ass off, she's not gonna make a dime tonight. These people that are putting their heart into it, it's really their heart, and it's nice whenever bands that are doing well tap you on the shoulder and say thank you for doing this. So and they came through for me last minute, and like they were like, this is how much we need to get paid. And I was like, how about this? I do graphic design, like a shirt design and a case of beer. And they're like, okay. Because they just wanted a little bit over what ASG wanted. And it was just like, And they were like, sure. I was like, oh, I'll give you a place to crash. Assigned 8x5 portrait. No, just kidding. Like, I don't know what else to do. And they were like, that's fine, you know. And they were nothing but sweethearts. They were nothing but sweethearts, yeah. Putting a fest like that together is almost like a whole other job that you're doing all year. And I'm going to say I'm fortunate enough that I'm like, I do everything. Like, I do the art myself. And like, yes, I would love to hire somebody else, but it's a lot cheaper to do the art myself. I do graphic design, so I could do all of the PR. I do PR stuff for bands. I have a label, so like, I have, like, the knowledge and, like, how to get it out there as much as I can. I'm not saying I don't need help, but, like, I'm kind of self-sufficient. If I had to, like, rely on more people, it probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it will grow into something where other people want to be like, hey, I can help you with this or that. Because it's about the scene. And there's no money in it. But I went to, for Pittsburgh, the area of Pittsburgh, I want them to see the regional bands. So whenever the regional bands come through, they know to go to that show whenever it's listed. And then I want the national bands to be able to play with the Pittsburgh locals and the regionals, because it's just a good for the community. It's good for the, like, and at the end of the night, all of the bands are still hanging out. They're talking to the other bands. They're talking to the fans. They're talking to the bartenders. It's just like one big happy family type thing.
Yeah.
And it feels really good. And, like, I'll be stressed the whole weekend, but then I'll look around and I just fucking,
you know,
I shine for the
happy.
First time all year. I just smile so big and I'm like, I fucking love this. I can't tell you how to put a fest together. I was never trained in it. You just get
you
your
just
hands dirty.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
get in there.
Make it. Learn, learn as you
it
go.
It is the worst and best decision I've ever done. I've definitely gained some wrinkles over the past couple years, but also it's the day of, the weekend of, the week after is so rewarding. It's just a good feeling. So, and Claudia is like another, like, that person. Like, you just need people like that. You need people like you, the podcaster, the guy that's asking the questions, you know. You need the person that's taking the photos. It's a huge community. Everybody is a cog. You just gotta keep grinding.
I don't know of another podcast that's covering this, so that's why I said, fuck it, I will do it.
We appreciate it.
Reference, Claudia is the woman who's organized this great showcase in New York called Ode to Doom, where it's just, you know, three or four bands, four or five times a year, of the stoner, the doom, the sludge, all those kind of genres. That's what we're at right now. We're at the, we'd never say where we were. We're in the lovely green room at Arlene's Grocery, which is a, I don't even know what you
it's
would
a
call
space.
That, a storage space.
Storage
it feels
space.
Like a tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
With stuff.
But we can wrap this up, and I guess just like the last thing is, are you guys working on anything? Now I know you just had the EP out. Wait. Are you working on anything else in the future going forward? And this is your time to plug yourself and let everyone know where they can throw their well-earned money and support you.
Well, of course. So again, our two-song EP, Wait, was just released here, what now? It's been a month, maybe?
Yep. Through DHU Records. They put out...
And it's great.
Thank you. Thanks. They put out like a limited lathe cut deal, and it was sold out by the end of the weekend, which was like... really humbling. Like, we're like, holy shit. And then so I have a label, Black Seed Records, and I just put it on like CDR vinyls. They look like little records, but they're CDs, just because we wanted to be able to give it out. Not everybody's a fan of digital, so
yeah.
We did that, and we just got our new bass player.
Right.
So like,
so.
We're and we threw all these shows, like, can you do all of this, you know?
Yeah. So we do have a couple of really
we've got some
good
riffs
shows coming up.
Yeah.
That like we have in the bank. And we have some good shows. And once we get through December, like, we're playing with Ruby the Hatchet and Cadaver. We're playing with Token, Telekinetic, Getty.
You guys
and,
playing the Vited show?
No, this is in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we
that
have, like, really,
show.
Like, bands that we really want to play with or have played with and want to play with again, that type of thing. Because we've played with Token before.
Yeah.
And I booked them a handful of times. But the... I don't know if you're going to hear any of this.
I hope this is usable.
That is the double bass upstairs, just in case you're wondering what that noise is.
The quiet moments are the best.
Yeah.
But, so, like, we have some riffs in store, but as soon as we get through this chunk, we're going to start just... And we're in Pittsburgh, so, like, January and February is a bunch of fucking snow.
Yeah.
So we're going to hunker down and... We have some things that we started writing right before Rush joined. We're going to pull them out, and if he doesn't like them, that's how we work. Like, hey, we're working on this. Can you write to it? Are you feeling it? And if not, we'll just start fresh with some stuff. But we definitely are not going to slow down with what we're doing.
You can't.
We're not getting any younger. So,
it's true.
So, like, and I'm not saying I'm going to quit in 10 years, you know, but...
I can't put a timeline.
Right,
like,
but like
I don't accomplish this by X, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
we're not doing that, but like we're just constantly trying to be creative, and even when we have shows coming up, we're always writing.
Yeah.
We're always working on some part. Yeah.
It's like as soon as we walk into the practice space,
if Shy hasn't gotten there yet or whatever, the rhythm section, we'll just start throwing something out there.
Yeah.
And if I did, like Shy was saying earlier, Brendan will just come up with some riff that maybe he's been thinking about, or maybe he was working on at home or whatever, and we'll just join in with him. And you never know. It could just be nothing more than a warm-up session, or it'd be like, hey, that was really cool what you just came up with. Let's see if we can do something with this. That's a lot of how, we end up coming up with something.
Yeah.
Is just out of that.
Just the natural organic
growth. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very organic.
We don't have any recording time booked yet. We have some shit to work on, but it's not going to be too long.
Yeah.
It won't be like 2 years down the line.
Right.
We're not concept albuming or we're just gonna keep with our flow, just keep jamming.
Or maybe it will. You never know.
The last record to ever be recorded because the end of time.
Period?
End of times.
Yeah.
We'll release it on the final date.
Is that gonna be like your headline? It's like Whorehound was the band to have the last record ever released in history.
I don't know if you're familiar with Holocene, our record.
Yeah.
Do you know what Holocene is? Where humans destroy the earth, basically?
Essentially, yeah. But it was like from
the last extinction period.
Yeah. It was like from caveman times up into about is it now? Is that what you're saying? Like that we're in this time now?
Yeah. The first.
No more mammoths?
It's going to be the first extinction made by humankind I'm not saying animals ever did it, but like not made by something that just naturally happened on its own.
So, it's all influenced by us.
Isn't that terrible?
It is. It's very depressing.
It's not like a comet nicked us
right.
It wasn't a random death like dinosaurs. It was, you did this.
Yeah.
You fucked the planet.
Yeah, so.
Well, on that enlightening note, where can everybody find you guys?
So our Bandcamp/website is prosludge.com. It's the same thing, we just kinda linked it to her. So you can get our music there.
And all of our merchandise is on there,
and it's like if you click on a few things, you'll hit our Instagram. Like all of our stuff is kind of organized there. But we're Whorehound. We're from Pittsburgh. We're the only Whorehound with an H. So there's Whorehound with an H. Because I think when people hear our name, they're like, So they're probably typing in with like a W, but like Whorehound. We're Whorehound. We're out there. Google us.
Yeah. Look them up.
Thanks, man.
No, thank you. This was great.